we talked earlier in the week a little bit and gave people a quick overview of the event and then what to expect. But I understand got a little more information here today.
Yeah, we wanted to come back and share some more details. We're okay. Obviously really excited about the event. You know, months of work go into putting on anything of this sort. And okay. So we want to share some of the agencies that are going to be represented and just kind of the flow of the 2 days that we're there at the
okay.
park.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, Jim, you want to start with a few?
We've got the Foothill Conservancy coming at you this morning. A couple of the others are Nexus, Sierra Wind, always a good go-to.
And let's see, we've got Amador County Public Health. We have TANF, NAMI Amador, Operation Care, Amador County District Attorney's Office. ATCA's going to be there. Planned Parenthood, Social Security Disability Advocate, DMV, a Victory Village, Veterans Assistance, St. Vincent de Paul Society, Small Change for Big, Pregnancy Help Center, Creekside Methodist Church, First Five Amador, The Call Church, Social Services, Motherlode Job Training, and that's
wow.
not even all of it.
Wow, Trixie, I'm yeah. so excited. That's a ton of local power.
All
yeah.
in one place offering services and connecting with each other.
Did you guys reach out to them, or did some of these groups contact you guys?
Both.
Mm-hmm. Both?
Yeah, okay. Especially 4 years in. You
yeah.
know, it's a, sort of an exciting thing, and I think a lot of these agencies were really struggling to meet their demographic during the pandemic, so mm-hmm. it was hard on everyone yeah. on a lot of different levels, but not being able to bring clients into your building
yeah.
really limited the amount of work you could get done.
Absolutely.
And so folks are excited to get out of their buildings and back in contact with their, you know, with their
yeah.
clients, with the folks that need their services.
This is going to be great for the folks that attend. Just Nexus alone, I'm amazed at the services they provide. But all those groups there, people in the community hear these names, but they don't necessarily know what services they all provide.
That's right, JD. And because a lot of this stuff is funded by grants, the yeah. services they provide change, you know, from year to year, or, you know, a few years down the line, there might be something new that you didn't know about.
Yeah.
And now you need it, and you'll be able to find out what the newest information is on those resources this weekend.
Right. And it's all going to be right there in one place for people. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but when the agencies connect with each other, not one agency can do everything.
Yeah.
And so we're better able to help people when we can do that warm handoff off to an agency that we know that can help them in ways we can't.
Well, I was impressed when I was talking with you guys last time. Well put together event. Just the part about the passport where you go around to the different booths. Mention that again, because I think that's great. It ensures that these people see all these different services.
So we're going to have a passport to services, and it has 10 lines that they can go. They can visit 10 different booths,
okay.
and have each booth initial their card. And we can. That's two chances for a drawing. So
okay.
every 5 signatures, you can turn that in for a drawing.
Okay.
We're going to have hourly drawings for $25 gift certificates for groceries or gas.
Right. On. Now, I probably should have started with this, but for folks who didn't listen to us the other day, just a quick overview of the event.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Homeless Resource Fair is modeled after what the veterans call a stand down, and that's basically a camp out where the resources come to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we open Sunday morning with breakfast, and we're there in the park until dinner on Monday.
Okay.
And so there's 3 hot meals a day. We've got a lot of great resources, including haircuts and yoga lessons. It's a wonderful opportunity to give people a chance to just be human for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times when you're homeless, you are constantly in strategy mode. So you're strategizing, you know, where am I going to go next if I'm told I can't be here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where am I going to get my phone charged or whatever? It's a lot of extra work
yeah.
when you don't have a home base. So it's an opportunity to just give people a chance to kind of let their guard down. They know they're allowed. It's a safe sleep space.
Mm-hmm.
So folks that check into the event are allowed to stay overnight with us
okay.
that one night in the park.
Okay.
And it's like you would think it's a camp out. So we have like a circle kind of evening program. Folks get a chance to share things they've been through, you know, opportunities to express their strengths and their concerns. And mm-hmm. it's just a really nice sort of levels the playing field, gives everybody a chance to just be human.
And that's a good point, saying people being human. These are human beings out here, the unhoused community. And it's nice to see that there's folks taking care of these people and providing these services that are desperately needed to these individuals. So
Jim was with us last year. I don't know if you want to share like kind of what it was like for you, or if you have any...
I got to tell you, I am a beneficiary of a lot of these resources, and this being the second year, I look forward to it. There was a good time last year. the resources are outstanding. So if you don't take advantage of it, it's your own fault.
Yeah.
And they are there. So you look forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And it's a very festive atmosphere. I mean, I remember last year I looked over, I saw Jim just grooving to the music, just sitting in the shade, having something to eat, you know?
Yeah.
And then I looked over, one year I looked over and there was a couple, we had given them a new sleeping bag and they laid it out in the shade and they were just laying there in each other's arms in the shade, just feeling safe and feeling like, you know, they were welcome and it's okay to be there.
That's really important. The safety. I think about that a lot when I see the unhoused community. Basically, every night, you probably wonder about your safety.
Yeah, and you know that has a significant wear on the physiological makeup of your brain. Yeah. There's studies that show that within 3 weeks of being homeless, your brain structure actually starts to change.
Really?
So
3 weeks?
That kind of, it's like a fighter, it's like a constant fight or flight. Mm-hmm. So your body can really only sustain that for short bursts. That's how we're built. We have these different types of hormones and adrenaline that kind of help us navigate short periods of crisis.
Yeah.
But if it's prolonged, the structure of your brain starts to change. And that's where, you know, mental health, you know, chronic homelessness, it's a cycle that feeds back into itself.
Absolutely.
So a little eye contact, you know, a little relaxing time and, you know, some opportunities to get yourself going in the right direction. It really does go a long way. Mm-hmm. We have a couple fun things that are new this year. So you maybe know Nedra Russ. She's a world-renowned harmonica player. And so she has sponsorship. Is it Hohner? Is that the harmonica company?
Yes.
I'm not. Yeah, it has the H there. But so they've donated 100 harmonicas. So Nedra's going to be coming and doing a performance and then lessons. And anyone that wants to leave with a harmonica, a little cheat sheet on how to get going.
That's
a huge benefit. You know, if you're alone and you got to figure out ways. My dad was always singing to himself as a kid and I couldn't figure out what that was about. But it's mental health. You're kind of trying to, you know, talk yourself through the day with the resources that you have.
Yeah.
And a harmonica is a great tool for that.
Yeah.
So we're really excited to have Nedra there.
Yeah, that's an instrument you can carry around with you all the time, right?
Yeah, anywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then we have Todd Pickens and his wife Marilyn, with the support of the Jackson Lions Club, will be hosting optical exams, providing prescription glasses free of charge to those in need.
And that's new this year, so we're really excited to have Todd on board.
Great, great guy. And the Lions Club, that's one of their missions, involves sight, so... huge shout out to the Jackson Lions Club as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We're even going to have a little game table this year. So Lisa Westerman and her husband are hosting, you know, cards and chess. And just like I said, it's so much of this event is fellowship, eye contact, and just remembering that we're really all just people. It doesn't matter if you live in a big house or a big tent.
Mm-hmm.
You're a human, and we all have a lot of things that we love about this community, and that's why we're here.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I talk about that, Ty. We are very lucky, the seasons that we have, the weather, the different terrain. I mean, we can go to the beach, we can go to the snow. It's all within a couple hours of us. So, and the best of it's right here in Amador County. So, now, for people that may not be going to the event, but they're going through town, there's not going to be any impact outside the park.
No, you'll see we have a great banner up that was provided to us by Benita Asher, so you can see that it's happening.
Okay.
And we have had folks over the 3 event years just pop in and see what's going on, because you might see, oh, it looks like something exciting is happening at the park, and it is.
Yeah.
One of the ways that we make the event work is by having like a cross section of people. So if it were only homeless people or people with lived experience like ourselves, then we don't, you know, it just sort of limits the experience. So we want everyone to come and enjoy the space. You don't have to be homeless. You don't have to be a provider.
Okay.
But these are your neighbors. It's a good opportunity to introduce yourself and learn about each other. You might find that there's something that, you know, a skill you have or a resource that you've been trying to figure out how to put to work in this community, because it feels good to be of use.
Absolutely.
And so that might inspire something new that we haven't even come up with yet.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me, how can I help the unhoused community? And I tell them, well, first of all, get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go out there and look for them and have a conversation with them and validate them. And just, you know, this is a perfect chance to sit and talk with them and have a meal with them in that safe environment and that little festive atmosphere.
That's great. Hey, is it too late, Ty, if somebody's listening, an organization, a group, a business is listening right now, and they say, is it too late to help? Is there Anything we can provide?
We definitely are welcoming more volunteers.
Okay.
So you'd want to reach out. I mean, today's Friday, so
it's
you'd want to
close.
Reach out today. Yeah. To Sierra Wind would probably be the smartest bet, because okay. Trixie will be there working and stuff. So they're moving through a lot of donations to get them ready for this weekend. So
okay.
The team at Sierra Wind, along with Trixie, are really doing a lot of work on the gear.
Okay.
And but if folks are interested in volunteering, I think there's always room to volunteer. As far as agencies and tables and stuff, it might be a little tricky to build you in at this point, but yeah. It's a great learning experience. Come through the park, you know, take your little notepad and write down all these great agencies, because that's who you want at your event, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I said this was, I want to say yesterday, it was 2 days ago. We talked 3 days ago. But thanks to you guys for everything that you're doing. This is a lot of work. And I understand that you guys are putting a lot of work into this, all these agencies, all these groups coming together and providing this opportunity to these folks. But I didn't know that you wanted everybody to come.
Yeah, it's a wonderful. We have music provided by Klondiken, and there's a full lineup of live music throughout both days.
Okay.
It's a great opportunity to just show by example that we're not afraid of our neighbors who don't have houses. Mm-hmm. It's just a circumstance that happens to be impacting them at this time. It maybe wasn't a couple years ago, and it might not be a couple years from now.
Yeah.
But in the last 3 years, California has experienced a 15% increase in homelessness. So data right now shows 175,000 homeless people in California. And if you are familiar with any kind of data tracking, if you're looking at a population, whether it's like, you know, rare gray wolves mm-hmm. or humans, you're only going to be able to capture a little bit. And so yeah. from there, you kind of have to extrapolate how many actually people are impacted.
Yeah.
And so that increase of 15% across the state is something that we feel personally, locally, of course. But we need to remember we're not alone in the struggle or the strategic solutions.
Well, and we mentioned this last time, these aren't bad people. I talked to you off the air about this. We talked about what a 40-hour work week minimum wage. It's basically the cost of renting an apartment in Amador County. So there's all your money if you're at the minimum wage level. You don't have your rent. You don't have gas. You don't have food. You just are paying to have a place to live. And then you got to come up with your first and last month in security deposit. For some people, that's $5,000.
Yeah.
Just boom, right now.
And that's why it's so important to get connected with these resources. You know, there are agencies and organizations in a county that will help folks with first and last. Mm-hmm. A big struggle out here is just finding those units.
Yeah.
We need to continue to build. And this type of event helps the conversation move forward, because if folks aren't prioritizing the development of low-income housing, then these type of events are the only option. And so we can help people kind of have a good month or a good quarter or a good season by providing them with, you know, the appropriate backpack or sleeping bag for that time. But we need to have long-term plans moving all the time.
Yeah.
Not just one complex, but a strategic approach, because this is an impoverished community. All our schools qualify for free lunch and breakfast support. So
yeah.
that means that we have a lot of folks here in need.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking up a lot of space here, so I don't know if you guys have other things you want to say.
Yeah,
I'd like to say that last year I was a recipient, and this year it's a little different. I'm housed, and I do have a job along with some volunteer work that I do.
Wow.
So
yeah.
it's definitely helped.
Congratulations, by the way. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I love stories like that. Absolutely love stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
I told the story about the gentleman that helped us out. Now he has a job. I see him walk to work every day. It's great.
And that feels good. You know, these are the people in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if they're down and out or they're, you know, running their radio station. These
mm-hmm.
are our neighbors, and we got to figure out ways to meet them where they're at and celebrate wins like that. We're glad to have you as a volunteer this year, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
We did receive a stipend, donation to provide stipends to peer volunteers. So that means folks who have experienced homelessness or are currently homeless
mm-hmm.
are able to check in with us,
okay.
Let us know they want to volunteer for a few hours. And the first 10 folks are able to earn $30 based off that donation.
Oh, great. Great. Right on. So give, as Jim always says, the lowdown on the hoedown.
That's right.
the times, all that good stuff for us. One more time.
So we start off Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
Okay.
You want to give us the rundown on the meals there, Jim?
Yeah, Sunday, it looks like we're going to have the setup at 7:30.
Okay.
9 o'clock will be breakfast. 12 will be lunch. That's noon. 5 p.m. dinner and 6 p.m. evening program hosted by all of us peer volunteers.
Right on. Right
and then
on.
We start back up on Monday with breakfast at 9. And the only difference in the meal plan for Monday is that we serve dinner at 4:30.
Okay.
And that'll be a nice spaghetti dinner from the Mother Lode Deli. And then we start cleanup at that point. So folks
okay.
are able to either stay on and continue to volunteer helping clean up, or we'll have like kind of to-go containers and stuff so they can head back to their camps and still have a nice hot meal for dinner.
Right on. Is Mother Lode doing all the meals? Or?
No, actually, they're all provided by different folks. Okay. Rosebuds is doing breakfast the 2 days. Okay. And then we have Lourdes, who coordinates some of the monthly meals, well, the weekly meals up at the St. Pat's Hall.
Okay.
Is doing lunch on Sunday. And then the Faith Lutheran Church, they had received a grant to do soup specifically. And so they did soup for us last year. And they're kind of using up the rest of those soup funds for they call it soup and socks, and that must have been something from within the Lutheran church. So, but they're really glad to be there, and so they're doing a watermelon gazpacho on Monday, and then dinner with Mother Lode.
Okay, right on. Shout out to those guys as well. Well, thank you guys for being here. Is there anything else that we failed to mention?
I just think it's nice to let everybody know that this works.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jim.
Hey, there's an example right there.
Right.
Hey, Jim, thanks for being here, too, by the way. You have an Interfaith Food Bank shirt on. Do you help?
Little volunteer. They help out with some of the meals up at the church.
Okay.
So that's where it comes in.
Jim does work at the mobile showers that we have.
Okay.
That the county has provided for our unhoused community or anybody who's in need of those twice a week.
You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, it's available to not just the unhoused community. It's available to everybody. And we provide the soaps, towels, whatever's necessary. You guys come in and we'll take care of you.
And it's 2 days a week, right?
Yes, it is.
And where are those?
Tuesday and Thursday. If you call the number, they'll let you know where it's at.
Okay.
And Sierra Wind provides sack lunches for that as well.
Okay.
And that the showers are hosted by the city of Jackson, so I think, yeah.
And it is nice because you can, if somebody goes without a meal in this community, it's their own fault. Obviously, I haven't missed a meal. So you guys get out there and utilize these services. They're there for you for a reason.
That's right. So every Thursday night at the St. Pax Hall from 4 to 6, there's a community meal. And that's for everybody. It's not just for folks who are unhoused.
Okay.
And then also on Saturday mornings, they provide a hot breakfast and a sack lunch. Same location at the St. Pat's Hall there behind the church here in Jackson.
Sierra Wind provides lunch every day, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We cook a hot lunch and serve that ourselves. Okay. And then Tuesday and Thursday, we provide a sack lunch.
And of course, there's always the Interfaith Food Bank as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, if you are homeless, you can pick up food more frequently because if you don't have a way to store your food, it's important that the food bank provides you with food that you can actually use. So that'll be stuff that doesn't require a refrigerator and maybe you could cook without, you know, a microwave or a stove.
Gotcha. Thanks for being here. Thanks for what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Thanks, JD.